Did you know that there are lots of Turks who live in the Netherlands? And Turkish President Erdogan, he needs their votes to pass amendments to his nation's constitution this weekend. Now, this referendum would vastly expand the Turkish strongman's presidential powers. But should he have been allowed to campaign in Holland? And were the Netherlands right to say, no, you can't? Professor Armin Seikel is director of the Centre for Arab and Islamic Studies at the Australian National University in Canberra. Welcome back to Between the Lines, Armin.
Thank you.
And Fleur Johns is Professor of Law at the University of New South Wales. Hi there, Fleur.
Thanks for having me.
Now, Armin, let's start with you. Was Erdogan's attempted referendum illegal under both Dutch and Turkish law?
Well, it wasn't illegal under the Turkish law, but of course the Dutch have the right to say no if he wants to conduct a campaign in Holland. I mean, of course, that comes under the Dutch sovereignty, and Dutch government has the sovereign right to say no.
Mm-hmm. Well, it also seems like the Netherlands has not broken international law either, right?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, they've not really broken the international law, but that's not the way that Ankara has been viewing it so far.
So is Erdogan simply posturing to his voters in Turkey?
Well, there's no question about it, and I think, you know, the latest public opinion tells us that it's on the edge, and therefore he would like to get the votes of those Turks who are residing in Europe, because that might really get him across the line.
Fleur, we keep hearing strong men like Erdogan and Trump and Duterte, Putin, they need an enemy or a conflict to remain unpopular. That's motivating Erdogan here as well?
Yes, it seems to be the case that he's touching a nerve that's already been made raw by the rise of the far right throughout Europe and doing so for his own political gain.
Yeah, that's your sense too, Armin?
Yeah, I think the problem is that what he's really doing could really play into the hands of right-wing parties in Europe and also to the hands of those who want to really promote Islamophobia. So that's not really going to be a gain for Muslim minorities in Europe. And I think he would have to be very careful that if he wants to really raise his credential as a good, moderate Muslim, so then he should not really engage in a type of rhetoric which could basically empower the forces of Islamophobia across Europe and put more pressure on Muslim minorities.
Yeah. Well, Fleur, what's your response to Erdogan's accusation that the Dutch have broken international law?
Well, there are really two key incidents to focus on. One is the treatment of the Foreign Minister Cavusoglu. In that respect, I think the Netherlands is probably within its rights. Because one treats a foreign minister when travelling abroad as a diplomat, they're operating under an agreement that they signed up to in the mid-80s, the Vienna Convention on Diplomatic Relations. And they have to act in good faith towards Turkey when operating under a treaty umbrella like that. But they're entitled to receive prior notice of any arrival and to have all business of the foreign minister conducted through the Dutch foreign ministry and to ensure that he acts in a way that's consistent with the diplomatic mission. And so I think it's within their rights for them to have withdrawn agreement that he should land in the Netherlands and campaign in Rotterdam.
Well, what law, though? I mean, diplomatic immunity? Because we've got this term, Vienna Convention is there, fascism. Is there any legal logic here at all?
Well, this is the sort of complaint that one hears quite commonly in the international legal order, that some particular nationalistic position is being smuggled in under the guise of universal norms. Mm. But I really don't think it's justified in this instance. And I don't think he's making any sort of particular argument about the Vienna Convention on Diplomatic Relations. I think he's just trying to mobilise a very powerful political trope for his own reasons. I think in relation to Cavusoglu, they were, as I said, probably within their rights. In the treatment of Family Minister Kaya, they may be on somewhat thinner ice because she might make arguments insofar as she was operating as a diplomat at that time, that she was entitled to immunity from criminal jurisdiction, or even if she was an embodiment of the Turkish state at that time, that she was similarly immune. I understand she's also making allegations about arbitrary detention or the allegations of that nature as well. We don't really have enough information to know how that will go, but I think that Dutch may have a slightly bigger problem there, but not a huge problem.
Well, are ministers of this sort protected under diplomatic immunity, or is Erdogan mixing it up?
They may be. If they are travelling abroad and representing as effectively as a member of diplomatic mission of Turkey, it doesn't seem that she ever notified the Dutch of her arrival on this trip, which would be routine for a member of a diplomatic mission. Mm. So it doesn't seem that she would be actually entitled to diplomatic immunity. But even if she's not, as an embodiment of the Turkish state, as a senior government minister, she's still entitled to sovereign immunity, and that allows her to be free from any exercise of criminal jurisdiction by the Dutch state, that is, an exercise of Dutch law over her. The question is whether that, in fact, took place in this instance, and it may not have.
Yeah, well, speaking of international law, Armin, there's been an enormous amount of evidence of human rights abuses in Turkey over the last couple of years, yet Erdogan is choosing human rights and international law as his discourse in going after the Netherlands. Question, are the Turks at home accusing him of throwing stones from a glass house, or do most Turks share his view?
Well, I mean, since the failed attempted coup last year, President Erdogan has engaged in a sense of purge of military, public service, educationalists, and he has dismissed thousands of public servants and also closed down quite a number of the education institutions as well as the media outlets. And of course, he has been accused of dictatorial tendencies, but at the same time, he has managed to have a majority support in the Turkish parliament and also be able to sort of encourage huge crowds to come in his support. I think he's basically promoting a number of populist policies, which, as you pointed out earlier, that there seems to be the trend right across the region, right across the world. But whether President Erdogan at the end, once he really gets the powers that he wants, will be using it in the way which would really stifle democratic values and democratic practices, which once he himself promoted in Turkey. And of course, between, one must not really forget that between 2002 and 2013, he was one of the central figures in promoting democratic values and practices which Turkey probably had not really experienced before.
I'm Tom Switzer, and my guests are Dr. Fleur Johns from the University of New South Wales and Professor Armin Cycle from ANU, and we're discussing this weekend's Turkish referendum. On that note, though, Armin, I mean, Erdogan's accusing the Netherlands of supporting the Kurds by allowing them to have rallies. Is this hypocritical given how they refused to allow Erdogan's party to do the same thing to the Turkish diaspora?
Well, I mean, if they allow the Kurds to have rallies in Holland, I mean, that is, I think, a matter for the Dutch authorities. I mean, Erdogan really wants to send people from Turkey in order to address big rallies, not only in Netherlands, but some of the other European countries in support of his position on the referendum. But as far as I can see, this is within the sovereign right of the Netherlands to say, okay, the Kurdish citizens of Holland can stage demonstrations, but we would not really allow a foreign politician to come and address rallies in the country.
Fleur, there was a claim made by Erdogan, and that was that the Dutch police used disproportionate use of force against the Turkish protesters in Rotterdam. Human rights groups have not reported on this, but online we see videos of police using water cannons, batons, dogs. Has any evidence emerged of disproportional force?
Not that I've seen, although I saw a news report today that Minister Kaya has in fact sued the Netherlands. The report didn't indicate where that had taken place, but I assume she's acting in the Dutch courts and arguing disproportionate force or arbitrary detention in relation to her several hours in police custody. The protesters, I haven't seen any hard evidence or any sort of follow-on. I mean, police force can rise to the level of inhuman and degrading treatment, contrary to international law, but it's really a contextual assessment determined on the basis of what is necessary in the particular context. And it's hard to say on the basis of video.
Yeah. What odds do you give Erdogan in the European Court of Human Rights?
Well, Erdogan can't go to the European Court of Human Rights. It would be the individual protesters or the minister. It would certainly not be a slam dunk, to say the least. Because these rights protected by the European Convention, freedom of expression, freedom of assembly and association, and right to liberty and security, have limits. They can be limited by a state, provided they do so in a lawful way and in a way that's considered necessary in a democratic society. And it's worth noting that the convention also explicitly preserves the right of a state to impose restrictions on political activity of aliens.
Right. Finally, Armin, when you talk about the potential EU membership for Turkey, how will this affect that?
What Erdogan was said that in return for barring refugees to move into Europe, the European Union should really accelerate the process of Turkish membership of the Union. But at the same time, there is a lot of opposition to Turkey really joining the European Union, and that opposition is very strong in Austria as well as in the Netherlands and even France. And I think there's also a great deal of opposition to the whole thing in Germany. So I think the chances of Turkey now really joining the Union sooner than later, I think, is really gone. But I don't think Erdogan is really deeply concerned about that, or for that matter, his government is deeply concerned about that, because I think Erdogan has really given up on the issue of Turkey really joining the European Union.
Yeah, what about trade, though? I mean, Netherlands, you know, it's Turkey's biggest foreign investor. Has this been thought of?
I think that is very important, and yeah. I think Erdogan would need to really pay attention to that. And it's not only trade with the Netherlands, but also with other European countries or members of the European Union. But at the same time, he's fostering relations with Russia, mm-hmm. and despite the fact that they have had the differences in the past, and now they're really coming together, and the Russians are probably coming a particularly large number as tourists, and the trade is really picking up between the two sides. Mm. And Erdogan is also really fostering trade ties with Arab countries, and particularly with Saudi Arabia and so on. And at the same time, the trade relationship and economic relationship between Iran and Turkey is really booming in many ways, and it's sort of coming up to something like about $16 to $18 billion a year, despite the fact that the two countries are having major differences in Syria.
Mm-hmm. Armin Flua, to be continued. Thanks so much for being on the program.
My pleasure.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
That was Armin Cycle from the Australian National University in Canberra and Fleur Johns from the University of New South Wales in Sydney.